You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Justin here along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. We are less than two weeks away from the spring game, guys. We're getting there. Spring camp is winding down. Next week is going to be a quasi-game week, so it's kind of getting exciting here. Are you guys ready for spring camp to finish up, Derek?
Yeah, I am. I'm ready for the spring game, at least. I'm excited to see how that's going to turn out. I know Matt Rhule was asked about how the spring game was going to, the format of the spring game was going to be, and he said it was too early. Yeah. That was a bit of a Scott Frost answer.
Hey, don't you ever compare those two together, ever again.
Scott Frost would always say the same thing, so. It is what it is. I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun to see what this team can do again. See if we can see some improvement, especially in the offensive line, some of the other key areas. See if these receivers can catch a ball.
I'm
excited.
Tyler, are you getting to the point where you're just tired of reading articles about spring camp and you're just ready to see it on the field?
A little bit. I mean, I would say this is just, it's been a really fun spring. We talked about this last week. I feel like in the last 5 years, I feel like doing these spring podcasts have kind of been a chore because there's just so little that comes out. And not that it's always easy to come up with topics, but I feel like this year there's at least a lot more content being put out, and I think that's a lot about the way that Matt Rhule's running it. So
yeah, and there's a lot more access, right? They're seeing practice a lot longer. They're doing more meaningful things in front of the media, so that part is good. Yeah, I agree with that. Matt Rhule, he's completely embraced this head coaching job. I mean, he's doing great, and I like the way he's running. I'm ready for the spring game as well. I just want to get to the game week here because you know. There's only so many highlight videos that you can, like, say, yay. And I'm sure some of these highlight videos will get brought up. But
isn't that all the spring game essentially is? Is
highlight video?
Highlight hype video?
Sure. But it's, I don't know.
It's still fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the spring topics, spring storylines, I guess. We did that last week. We'll carry it on this week. Number one, is Henrik Harburg the second team quarterback now? Tyler, what do you think here?
Well, if you listen to the reports, about a week ago, he was taking third team snaps, and this week he's been bumped up to number two. I do think it's important that we call out two important key components to this. One, I don't know how many drills the media saw. It could have been one round. Maybe they alternate him and Purdy, who was number two last week. And two, just a reminder, both Casey Thompson and Logan Smothers are still not practicing. So all of this to say, I don't buy it. I don't buy him being our number two quarterback. I think there is, at this juncture, I mean, even if I didn't believe that Chubba Purdy and Logan Smothers would beat him out, which they may not, I know Casey Thompson will when he comes back. So if he is number two, not really sold on that today, but if he is, that is just holding it until Casey Thompson and the real quarterback competition begins.
Wow, Harburg hater right there. So the list in drills came... Jeff Sims 1, Harburg 2, Purdy slipped to 3. He was second the week previous. And then Torres at the end. So Derek, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I kind of wish Tyler quit peeing in my Kool-Aid. Man, that was kind of...
Uncalled for, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What? I mean, but, you guys just don't hate on Chubba?
I'm not going to hate on anybody, but... Yeah, I think it's possible that Harburg could have bumped into number two. Now, when you're right, when Casey Thompson comes back, that's his spot. It's either first or second for him. There's no way that I think Harburg's beaten out Sims or Casey Thompson.
Really?
However, I do think he could be the next best after that. You've heard a lot about him all spring. So it's hard not to start buying into some of it.
So if there's an offense...
And we've seen Chubba Purdy.
If there's an offense that Matt Rhule wants to run, who fits in that offense better, Harburg or Casey Thompson? It sounds like Matt Rhule wants to run the quarterback. Can Casey Thompson run the ball like Matt Rhule wants
to? He did pretty well. I don't know if he could do it as like Matt Rhule wants him to do, but
yeah, I mean he had to run for his life several times last year behind a terrible offensive line.
But again, it's that narrative. Like when we picked up Harburg, he couldn't run the ball, and now all of a sudden he's one of the most athletic kids on the team. So I don't know.
The staff is high on him.
I would go to this point. If you're saying running the quarterback is an extremely important element of what this offense is going to be, then if that's the narrative, then there's no reason to believe that Logan Smothers doesn't come back and seriously compete for that spot. Because, I mean, I believe to this point he has been a more dynamic runner. And all the comments about how Harburg's the best athlete in the quarterback room, Logan Smothers was that guy before he got injured. So, I mean, there's no reason to believe coming after the summer that he can't be in that conversation again.
That's fair.
And that's based just on running. I mean, obviously, we know there's some shortcomings with him. The way I look at the Harburg situation is I do believe that it is right now a legit competition between Purdy and him, who is that second quarterback. And if you guys want to believe that, hey, maybe he's got that spot number two, I guess we'll probably get more insight in the spring. That might be one of the head key storylines in the spring game, is who looked better between those two. But not even close to a runaway, in my opinion, to that he's got that spot locked down and, you know, Chubb is going to fall to fourth quarterback on the depth chart, guaranteed. So and I think everyone's just underestimating Logan Smothers.
So in your estimation, Tyler, so let me preface this by saying a lot of people are going back and forth between Jeff Sims and Casey Thompson as possible starters, right?
Yep.
Either one of those guys could be starters. How much of a drop-off is there from Jeff Sims to what we would see in Harburg and Purdy in spring? And what would you say at this point?
I mean, I'm guessing, obviously.
Yeah. We don't see practice. But
I'm guessing there's a fairly dramatic. I mean, here's what I will say. It's like last year, Harburg didn't see the field. And like to me, we saw the drop-off what happened when Casey Thompson went down. And the backups. We saw how big a drop-off that was. Like, and now we're talking about a guy who wasn't even good enough to be one of those backups last year. And again, he gets better, new system, new coaches. Maybe he was injured. A lot of things could factor in this. I don't want to make it sound like I believe this guy's a bum and never going to amount to anything. But I find it hard to believe that all of a sudden a guy that couldn't even crack the fourth string quarterback last year is all of a sudden competing for the starting position.
Jarrett Sinek was ahead of him.
Yeah, exactly. That leap is just insane to me. And it's not like Harburg was this like insane recruit coming out of high school that just needed a little bit of time to develop. Like, and it wasn't like he was a true freshman last year either. He was a 2-year guy. So there's just a lot of points here that make me just think that, like, I'm happy for him. I think he is one of the key storylines this spring. I mean, don't get me wrong. The emergence of him, I do believe that he's come a long way. I think that we just need to cool our bridges a little bit.
Derek?
Well, that's fine. But as far as drop-off goes, sure. I mean, you got experience level alone is going to be drop-off. I mean, you got 23 starts to nothing. So, I mean, that alone is going to be a huge drop-off, I think. Even if he's playing well in practice, you get him on a game field, that's a lot different.
Well,
so, yeah, there's got to be a big drop-off.
So one of the things that's also gathering a lot of buzz is some of the highlight videos that the athletic department's putting out, which are always phenomenal, right? But we saw the physicality that Henrik Harburg puts in with that huge block on Gifford, right? Wow. I mean, what a block. So that takes us into our second topic and the physicality of practice thus far. I mean, we're hearing about it. We're seeing a little bit of it. So, I mean, I find it hard that we're going to disagree on this topic at all. But, Derek, how great is this to see?
Well, it's great, but it feels like 2018 again. Like, it feels like we set all these things in 2018. Talked about the physicality being so much better than what it was under Riley. It's getting to the point to where I just want to see it on the field.
Like, but you're seeing it in the photos, I mean, or in the videos, well,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was a great block by Harbor. I mean, that was phenomenal to see. I will never complain about seeing some physicality.
Yeah.
But I want to see it pay off, too. It does no good for him to throw one block, get on video, and sit around for the rest of practice, I guess.
Well, you know, green jerseys made it a little bit different, but it used to be, you know, like, green jersey, my ass, don't touch the quarterback. Why is he laying out like that on a block? That was crazy. Tyler, your thoughts on physicality of practice?
You know, I'm not going to be quite the naysayer that Derek is, and I'm going to believe this at face value, that the physicality is better at this juncture, and I am all for it. You know, we don't know exactly what Scott did, but what we do know is it seemed like, man, we had a lot of injuries always heading into the spring game, and it seems like this year, with what I believe, and it sounds like, is an intense level of tackling and physicality. I mean, we're getting through it healthier, which is a great sign so far. But yeah, I think that the spring is really meant for the heavy contact. And when I'm hearing that, hey, they're letting tackles happen on quarterbacks, like, that is just shocking to me in this day and age.
It helps when you have 16 quarterbacks on your roster. Like, next man up, right?
I mean, when two of them are injured right now... I mean, I don't know about next man up completely, but yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see, as long as no one gets hurt.
Yeah. I forget the name of that syndrome that Scott Frost put two or three guys through when he first got here, through excessive workouts. What the hell was that name? They were hospitalized for a little bit.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
Rutabaga keeps coming to my head. It's not rutabaga, damn it. Tyler, you'll never get that name. Anyway, it'll come to me in the middle of the episode. I'll get to it. Yeah, so topic number three. And our defensive line coach, Terrence Knighton, had some interesting topics on the pass rushers. Now, we've had a lot of conversations about what this defense, this 3-3-5, is going to look like and where the rushing is going to come from. Well, you know, now we have names that are going to go along with that. So maybe that helps us fill in a little bit of the puzzle pieces that we have here, but kind of interesting names. Derek, what did you see here?
All right. Well, it was interesting because a lot of the names that were being mentioned were a lot of the new guys. Prince Will, Umanmielen, I can't say his name. I sound like Tyler.
Tyler, right, help now. Him out.
Umanmielen.
You got it, Derek.
MJ Sherman's getting brought up. Jamari Butler's getting brought up, which he's been around for a while. But Maverick Noonan, another new guy, freshman guy coming in. And Kai Wallen, the junior college guy that just came in. So it's interesting to hear some of these names. But the comment that he's making is that these guys can play down with their hands in the dirt or play standing up. So he kind of left you still wondering what these guys are going to be doing. But you at least know there's going to be some pass rushes going on with it. And you hope they're better than what we had.
You know, I know that he's not going to go down and name drop everybody on there. But were you kind of surprised that Chief Borders didn't get a mention?
A little bit, just because he's been such a key cog in this whole spring with everything. He gets mentioned with everything, and then all of a sudden, but he might be with linebackers more, so he may not have. He may not be. Knighton may not see him much. I don't know.
Tyler, your thoughts?
Well, what I think I found most interesting, again, going back to the premise that we're right now believing we're in a 3-3-5. It's when you hear Knight and talking about who is being the pass rushers, I feel like that kind of answers probably a question of where these guys are going to be playing. I didn't know if we'd see the pass rushers at linebacker or if they were going to be on the line of scrimmage. Utilization is going to be still really interesting because, like, a guy like Jamari Butler, like, is he up for run defense in a 3-3-5, or is he just going to be coming in on passing downs? Could we see another NASCAR package? Who knows with these four guys?
Justin, God. Drink.
God, I thought we were done playing the drinking game with NASCAR packages.
I mean, but you know, they named four guys. So, I mean, perfect number. But it does still beg the question of how these guys are going to be used. It's interesting to see that the guys that are named, again, not really any shockers. Three new guys, like Derek pointed out.
It is shocking, though. And it's not shocking by who was mentioned. What's shocking is who's left out. Like, you heard nothing about Nash Utmacher. You heard nothing about Ty Robinson.
But do you think Ty Robinson's a pass rusher?
I don't think of them as pass rushers at all. I think those are, like, straight-up defensive linemen. I don't think that their role is, to, like what Tyler's talking about, passing downs and getting after the quarterback. I think they're whole stuffers.
Is it going to be like a hockey game, like where, hey, it's a passing down, line change, and just bring in two new guys? Like, that piece is still yet
he's
to
only
be determined.
He's only coaching three guys at a time, right? Like, I mean, only three of his guys going to be on the field at a time, you'd think, right? Like, if we're 3-3-5. That's where I'm confused. Some of those other guys didn't even get mentioned.
Is it a strong side defensive end is going to be the run guy and the weak side's a pass rusher and only playing one of them? I mean, like, I don't know. I mean,
this is why we need the spring game to get here, so we can at least get somewhat of an idea what's going on.
Or are we running a 4-2 or 4-2? Maybe we're not running a 3-3-5.
Could be, yeah. It's crazy.
Even if that's the case, and you got all four of these guys on the field, that leaves Nash Utmacher and Ty Robinson off the field.
That's fair. Wait, right now, which one of these guys are you probably most excited about heading into the fall?
Out of the ones that Derek just mentioned?
Yeah, the guys that Knighton mentioned as pass rushers. Like, if you had to say, okay, of the four guys, who's going to lead the team in sacks?
Oh, I would probably lean towards MJ Sherman.
That's my pick, MJ Sherman.
Would probably be my top guy. But as far as potential goes, I think Prince Will is probably the highest potential to me.
I mean, do you think that, I mean,
as a true freshman,
I think he's got the highest potential. I don't think it would be this year, but in his career, I think Prince Will would be the better player.
You know, I just thought about this, you know, when Tyler brought up the NASCAR package. Do you remember last year, headed into the season, we played the game about over-under on, like, sacks? And then Tyler had us at over 40 sacks last year because of the NASCAR package with
O'Shawn Mathis. Tyler does not remember this conversation at all. He's shaking his head.
Like 40 sacks, and he goes, yeah, these guys are studs. And we had 21 sacks last year. God, that was funny. So, Tyler, what is your prediction on sacks? You're talking about sacks here.
I mean, I guess the good sign is I'm not expecting a lot of sacks this year. I think we're going to have a really good defense. I just don't know if I see a lot of pass rush. Because I'm on the Jamari Butler camp. I think he's going to be our best pass rusher this year.
I here in the Big Ten, I don't know if we're ever going to see a ton of sacks. There's too many teams that we play that run the ball too much. Teams like Illinois, who are going to put seven linemen up there and just run the ball down your throat. Minnesota's going to do that.
But the problem with that, Derek, is it's relative, right? Like, maybe not ranking number one in the country in sacks, but you don't need to finish second to last in the Big Ten. Like,
we weren't, though. Like, Indiana was below us. Rutgers was below us. Minnesota was below us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess maybe I'm thinking second to last in our division, but yeah, I mean, I know we are near the bottom and whatever I was looking at sacks.
Yeah, it was, so. We weren't great.
No, not by any means.
But I guess that's the thing.
But it hurts your stats when you have three or four games that you're just probably not going to get many sacks. I mean, it's not there's not much of a shot at getting any sacks.
We do play Purdue, and they give us all the opportunities we need
that is,
to.
That is fair. That is fair.
Or they had been.
And you got to come up with more than zero sacks in that game.
Yes.
And not give up 40-something points.
That would be nice. I think when we were talking about this with the Gen Red, I think this was a topic I know that Derek, you're really big on, is what does the pass rushers look like? I think we're 9-10 days away from hopefully getting a little bit of clarity. It's great to know the guys that we're expecting in that room. It's great to kind of understand where Blaine Gunderson is seeming to fit more in the defensive tackle slash end and run. Maybe Chief Borders is going to be a pure linebacker. Which, if that's the case, maybe adds a little bit more clarity into that room, with a couple of these guys not being in the linebacker room. I don't know. It just was a very telling to me, like, statement to kind of start to piece together where people are playing. It's just still the question of, like, are we playing pass rushers every down? Is it a special set?
We're not going to know that in spring game anyway. We're not going after the quarterback. No, we're not going to go after the quarterback in this game.
We go after them in the drills, live contact.
No, apparently the quarterbacks go after them.
That's fair.
Because I guarantee you right now, if Isaac Gifford can get his hands on Harburg, I guarantee you he'd love to get his hands on him right now.
That would be fun. Because
he's got to be embarrassed by that video.
I mean.
You let a quarterback lay you out.
They were talking on Twitter. They were going back and forth a little bit. And Harburg was like, I need to keep my head on a swivel after that one, so.
Oh, really? I missed all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, I got to keep... I would tell you, I would love the next highlight video to show Gifford getting a little bit of revenge. I don't want to see him get hurt, but a nice little open field, little good form tackle.
My God, could you be any more, like, obvious in your hatred for Harburg? I mean, you started off
I hope he rips his head off.
Yeah. Oh, he shits down his neck.
I'm going to buy a Harburg jersey. I'm going to do it. I'm going to support him. Whatever his NIL deal is, I'll buy his beef jerky or whatever he's selling. But I'm keeping it 100, guys. Keeping it 100.
All right, speaking of numbers here, On3 had a ranking of the head coaches in college football.
It was not On3. It was actually PFF.
Oh, was it PFF?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was just the article. I'm sorry. The article I sent to you guys was from On3, but it was actually PFF that made it.
Oh, okay. Well, rankings. Thank you for pointing that out. I missed that. But it had Matt Rhule in there at number 25. So is Matt Rhule really a top 25 coach in your opinion, Tyler?
I think so. I'm going to talk about both sides of my mouth. It is hard because there are a couple omissions from that list that I was like, man, it seems weird not having Kurt Ferentz in that list.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Very true.
And so you start seeing a couple omissions. You're like, man, I'm a little shocked. So I understand that there's 25 guys in a list. But do I believe that Matt Rhule is one of the 25 best coaches in college football with what he did in Baylor, what he did in Temple? I do. I think that there is, I truly do believe he is in that category. It's just, it gets a little bit challenging. Like, I don't know who I'd bump off that list to get a couple more. You know, Pat Fitzgerald, I know, has had a couple down years. I'm not ready to write him off. I mean, there's no PJ Fleck, which that's a good omission, but to answer your question, I do. I think it's a fair rating. He's number 25 out of the top 25. I think that's a fair assessment with what he's accomplished, especially given he's had a couple years off.
Jimbo Fisher comes at number 17. Does anybody really believe he's a top 25 coach?
Well, sure, he's got a national title on his resume, so I can put him
in. So does Scott Frost, damn it. Is he a top 25 head coach? He's not a head coach.
You want to know where the list is really screwed up? And maybe you guys will disagree with me here, but to me, having Luke Fickell in it in a top 10 seemed a little bit big to me. Yeah. I don't think he's a top 10 coach, but whatever. I don't think I don't think rules should be in the top 25 right now. Like, really? Let's let them get some wins. Yeah, let's let them get some wins before we start. This would be like putting Nebraska in your top 25 right now. It's just, it doesn't make sense right now.
I think the difference, though.
I think there are coaches that deserved it, like Brett Bielema. As much as I hate that guy, he should probably be in that top 25. Have you seen what he's done at Illinois? Like, they're giving all the credit in the world to Lance Leipold. But Brett Bielema has done pretty damn amazing at Illinois in his couple years there.
Shit the bed at Arkansas.
Fair. He did great at Wisconsin, though. He's doing great at Illinois. Yeah.
He's got the Big Ten.
I don't know. I think there are names that probably deserve to be in there before Matt Rhule. And Matt Rhule could be in there if he can win some games at Nebraska. But let's see him win some games before we start throwing him in the top 25.
So I don't have,
in my opinion,
I don't have a problem having him in the top 25 at all. Based off of, I mean, he's not a newer coach. He's got Power 5 experience. He's got NFL experience. He's been around the block. He's done some great things. Had some great years. Yeah, sure. He's had some bad years in his first year at a couple of stops, but I firmly believe that he is a top 25 guy. And if he's not perceived as a top 25 guy, why would Nebraska pay him top 10 money for, you know, not being a top 25?
For the same reason we paid Scott Frost top 10 money, because he was the big name out there.
But you know what? At the time, I think people thought Scott Frost was legitimately a top 25 coach. I know Huskerland, right. They believed he was a top 10 coach.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I want to hold off with Matt Rhule right there. Because we all thought it with the last coach, too.
Well, unlike Frost, I mean, Matt Rhule has lots of experience.
I get it, but not in the Big Ten. So let's see what he does here.
I just think with that resume, I mean, okay, so how many coaches have been National Coach of the Year? I mean, not that hard to do the math there and say of the active coaches, how many could have it? I mean, and Matt Rhule has one of the National Coaches of the Year for his year at Baylor. I mean, so it is, he's obviously been successful. That was his last year of college coach. He was the best coach in the country, got the award for it. To say that he's not a top 25 just because he had a couple years in the NFL, like, I just think it's not reality. I think he clearly is. Now, the question is, I think some Nebraska fans, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about, does he make the top 25? I think a lot of Husker Nation, I'm shocked none of you guys are taking this stance, is, was he rated way too low on that list? And, I mean, him coming in at 25, like, I think there's probably a good portion of Husker Nation, and I think we're a little bit more reserved here, that probably would have him in that top 10 to 15 range. I think there's some resume points to that that would back that up. I think there's a little bit of Kool-Aid that would also help support that, but...
Get me 7-8 wins this year, and we could talk about you being a top 25 coach.
7 wins to do that for you, though?
I was going to say, if he gets 7...
After how many years of 4-5 wins? Yeah. See, 4-5 wins? Yeah,
I think he would absolutely drop out. If he only gets 7 wins this year, I don't think he's getting back in the top 25 next year, which is interesting. You don't have him in now. You go against the grain, Derek. You go against the grain.
Well, sure. I mean... Because at that point, you're already proving to me that you could start turning this program around. You took a 4-win team to a 7-8-win team. Yeah, so you'd almost...
8 wins, if you, changes that conversation. I don't know how much 7 wins does. You're barely winning over half of your games.
Again, that's 2 years under Scott Frost.
Yeah.
But we, I mean, and we've talked about this a little bit, but it's worth restating that... We very quickly, I understand that we have been jaded in Nebraska history and holding everyone up to the bar of Tom Osborne has probably not been fair to all the coaches we've had. However, we can't now hold all the coaches to the bar of Scott Frost. Like,
exactly.
Like,
well, at least he's not the worst coach in Nebraska history.
Like, I mean.
So that's all I'm asking. That's all my expectations are right now. Just prove to me that you're better. It's got to get better throughout the next couple of years, too. But for this year, just prove to me that you're actually better than Scott Frost.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I really don't fundamentally disagree. And Justin, I mean, 7-8 wins is, while I do think that 7-2-8 wins is a definitely a different tier, of wins. I mean, it's not drastically different, but I do think that if he doesn't win nine games, I think some of the hype will start to shine down a little bit off of him. But probably wrongfully so. Like I said, I think my stance on him, and I was going to kind of do this, it's hard to do the country, to rank all the coaches in the country. But I was kind of looking at the list, like, how many of those coaches, how high in the list would I have to go to be like, I would trade that coach for Matt Rhule. And, I mean, they're probably most of the top 10 guys I would, but you get to the teens, a lot of those guys I'm like, would I rather have Jimbo or Matt Rhule? I'd probably rather have Matt Rhule.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Jimbo Fisher being in at number 7, he's the only one that doesn't belong in the top 25. I think an argument could be made for every single guy on there to be in the top 25 except Jimbo Fisher.
Well, I'll tell you two other guys that got completely flipped around here. Is Jim Harbaugh at number 3 and Dabo Swinney at number 4. Now, I don't care where you want to put Jim Harbaugh, whatever. Dabo Swinney definitely deserves to be ahead of him. He's got, what, 2-3 national championships under his belt? I know they had a down year last year, and he hasn't been quite as good lately, but geez, talk about what have you done for me lately.
But going back to, I got the list, and I'm gonna go through, like, 16 through 20 real quick.
Go for it.
Chris Kleiman, 16. Jimbo Fisher, 17. Mark Stoops, 18. Mike Gundy, 19. Willie Fritz, 20. Like, I would take Matt Rhule over all of those coaches. I think Matt Rhule has accomplished more in college football. I mean, Mike Gundy obviously has a pretty long resume, but he has a lot of bad years in there, too. Like, I would take him over. So then you get to, like, the top 15. Kalen DeBoer, maybe a little bit more questionable. Lance Leopold, a little questionable. Lane Kiffin, clearly not, in my opinion. Sonny Dykes, you can't do that after his last year. Josh Heupel, obviously a really good year at Tennessee. So I feel like in the upper teens is probably really where he deserves to be, somewhere in there. Maybe low 20s. But I think he's clearly, with what he's accomplished, a top 25 coach.
I think it's interesting because you like Dave Clawson over Matt Rhule before it started. And Dave Clawson is sitting at 22.
Dave Clawson's criminally underrated. He should be hired. Give the guy his flowers.
I do tend to agree with you there. I think he is way underrated there.
Okay.
I also think Jonathan Smith's a little bit underrated, slightly.
Yeah. I mean, what he did at Oregon State was really impressive.
It is impressive. You're taking a shit team to what he's doing. I think it's impressive.
But again, Matt Rhule is definitely in the conversation with those guys. But the Kurt Ferentz, as much as I hate Iowa, the slander by not having him in the top 25 is pretty. I mean, he 100% deserves it.
I wonder if they expanded it to 30 teams, if he is even in the top 30. I don't know why he
has to be, right?
Maybe he's being held back because of his decision to keep Brian as OC.
Maybe. I mean, and you start going through the guys like Derek mentioned, Bielma, like, pretty good. I still think what Pat Fitzgerald has done his tenure at Northwestern, just I know 2 years is rough. Maybe if this year goes bad, you can no longer give it. But, you know, PJ, I mean, there's a lot of coaches in the Big Ten that you're just kind of like, yeah.
You know what? And right now, I would rank PJ ahead of Matt Rhule as far as this top 25 goes. I don't like PJ, but what he's doing at Minnesota's been relatively impressive.
All right, it's that time of the year where it's the off season, so I think this is a prelude to a future episode here shortly. So ranking the Big Ten coaches,
it's hard. So it really gets very hard to start separating these guys.
All right, one last topic to get into with our mid-spring update, part 2, and that is the transfer portal. It opens back up on Saturday, April 15th, I'm sorry. And so what I'm interested to know from you guys is, will there be any Husker in the portal before the spring game? Tyler.
I would guess yes. It just seems really almost impossible when you know you have to lose that many guys on scholarship to have an answer no. I don't think it's going to be a high number, but I do think we'll probably hear some noise right around that time before the spring game. I think that the interesting – yeah, so I guess that I'll start there. That's my thing. I think we'll see a couple of names before the spring game pop.
Derek?
Oh, absolutely we're going to see some names. Look, we're too far into spring. These guys know where they stand. Maybe not. I mean, 100% know where they stand. But if you're taking third team reps, you know you're probably not going to be a starter. So I mean, so a lot of these guys are going to know this. So they're going to make a decision. They know there's going to have to be some roster attrition. Like it's coming. So why not get a head start and get your name in there before everybody else does?
Yeah.
So if I were to set the over under on number of transfers that we see prior to the spring game at 3.5, would you say over or under?
I would say slightly over, maybe 4 or 5.
Over? Tyler?
I'd guess under.
Under? All right.
It mainly because it's a week out. I think the spring game's so close. Like, maybe these guys want to get that tape on field too. Like, I just think we're so close to see a, I don't know, 4 or 5 guys leave. It just seems, I don't know, that seems not what I would expect. Where would you put it?
I think it'll be over, just slightly over. I think that 3.5 is a really solid number. 3 to 4 is probably my pick. I'm going to edge on the over because, look, everybody knows that there needs to be about 15, 16 guys that need to be leave the program before fall camp starts, right? You have an extra week. If you already know that maybe you don't have a role on this team, whether it's offense or defense, why not take that extra week to get into the portal when there's other teams looking for pickups, right? You get that extra week to find a new home. So if you know that your days are numbered, why stick around for a spring game that you may or may not have? You know, maybe that spring game won't influence any coach's decisions at that point. I think that extra week really helps, would benefit people that are on the edge right now of transferring anyway.
Maybe. I do think it's going to be interesting, though. I mean, we know there's 14 people that have to leave. And the question is how much over that 14? Because, you know, it wouldn't be shocking if Rule, there's some walk-ons that you're starting to hear a little bit of buzz on.
John Bullock is one, yeah.
Yep, that you're like, man, maybe they want to give a scholarship to one of these guys so they don't transfer. And then vice versa, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they want to hit the transfer portal and grab another guy or two. I personally am not a big fan of going to hit the transfer portal at this point. I feel like you kind of have your bed, but
I don't know. You got to see who goes into it, though, right? You got to shop around.
But do you cut just out of preparation that you might get a guy? I mean, I just don't like the idea of cutting guys. I think that you offer a scholarship, and I know Rule didn't, but he offered a lot of these guys scholarships. I mean, the challenge is how many players are still not on campus to really get a good insight of what this roster is going to look like.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of like that the conversation that we had earlier, you know, about Matt Rule's comments. You know, it's like, we're not here to try hard. You know, we're here to win. We're not here to try hard and thank the fans. We're here to win. And so if there's a guy out in that transfer portal that can help you win immediately, they're going to do it. I mean, this staff has been aggressive in their recruiting practices, the way that they brought in extra players onto the roster to get our numbers as high as they are, right? They've been ultra aggressive. And there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to continue doing that to make this roster what they think can win in the Big Ten in year one. I don't think that they're looking at this roster saying that this is the roster that they want to roll into 2023 with at all. They're going to look to get better. That's my thought. Derek, you don't sound convinced.
It don't bother me either way. I'm not as down on the roster as you are. Maybe it's not the best roster in the Big Ten, but it's definitely a top half roster. And so you just got to start winning games with them. I mean, I need to see some development. I've said that time and time again.
The roster's fine. But you know what? If there's an opportunity to get better,
the only thing that if I am this staff, the only positions I am looking to try and upgrade in are probably on the lines, offensive and defensive line. If I can find some guys that are top notch guys, but the problem is those guys are getting 80 offers because every school wants them.
And I would not turn away a good wide receiver either.
I'm not as low on the wide receivers as you guys are. I'm buying into Billy Kemp. I think he's going to be a great wide receiver.
All right. We got more positions out there.
That's fine. I think we're set pretty well. I think our defensive backs are good. I think our wide receivers are good. Our running backs are good. The only positions that really worry me are the lines.
Yeah.
Maybe linebacker. I don't know. But I think linebacker's pretty full. You'd have to really get rid of some guys, I think, to pick some up there too.
Tyler, are there any positions that you would go out and reach out for in the transfer portal?
I mean, again, I feel pretty good about where our roster is at this point. I mean, now again, depending on where attrition hits us, that could change. But like right now, I'm sitting there saying, no, I feel good about the depth. I feel good about the youth. I feel good about the future. I'm beginning to start to see this. I mean, defensive line would be the position I'd point at, but the fact that I'm starting to see, like, okay, it seems like Blaine Gunnarsson is getting healthy and he's working out there. The pass rushers seem to be like they're going to be moving up there. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about that room. Wide receiver would be the other room I'd point to. Again, it's just so hard because assuming you get Alante Brown back and Malachi Coleman comes in and he can at all give you what you want, I mean, you feel okay about that room. I know I'm a little bit lower on Billy Kemp than you, Derek, but I still think he's a guy that can come and play. So wide receiver and defensive line would be the two positions I would point to, but right now I think it gets really challenging when you talk about having to cut guys. Because frankly, a lot of guys I'd probably look to cut are some of these incoming freshmen that are probably not on the chopping block.
Okay, I just got to call you out, Tyler. Just one more time. It's Blaze Gunnarsson. I even had to double check the roster because you had me second guessing myself. It's not Blaine. It's Blaze. It
should be Blaine. Blaine is a better name.
Are you shocked that Tyler butchers a one syllable name? A one syllable name.
No, I had to call you out a little bit, Tyler. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, your favorite head coach, Tim Osborne, would be so disappointed in you.
I let it slide the first time, but she did it again. So I was like, I'm going to have to double check myself here. But
So we know that there's a lot of attrition that needs to take place on the roster. I want to know from you guys, is there any one specific guy or a specific name that would maybe not hurt the program, but it would hurt their position group if they left? Can you think of anybody that would screw over their position group if they left?
Anthony Grant
at running back? Okay. He would screw it over?
I think there's a lot of running backs that could fill in and be all right. I would say, and I don't know if there's I'm hoping there's not much of a shot of this happening, but the two names that come to my mind would be Nick Henrich or Luke Reimer.
Maybe not Nick Henrich, because I'm not confident that he's got a... He's going to be, a starter.
That's such an absurd take, Justin.
Luke Reimer might fit that bill, but I don't know about Nick Henrich.
I personally would put both those guys in there, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would too.
What about Quentin Newsom? Does he screw over the cornerback room?
See, I thought about him and Miles Farmer. I just think the depth in that room is so great that, like, it would be a... clearly a big loss for it, but I think there's enough depth that God forbid that happen, to rebound it. My concern with, like, an Anthony Grant, and I know A.J. Allen, I've heard a little bit of buzz that people are concerned he's going to transfer. You know, he's been kind of quiet, been injured a little bit, obviously coming off of an injury. Like, my concern at running back is it does seem like that's a room that's, like, the depth just quite isn't quite where I want it to be. I wouldn't, and that's
just, the depth at running back isn't quite where you want it
just,
to be.
We just ranked him as a number one.
And no, I did not. I did not have him number one. I had secondary number one. And what kept him from number one was depth.
I had him go back, listen to that episode. I could have sworn all three of us had running back. I had secondary as our best position group.
And the reason why
you're lucky I take notes. Go ahead, Tyler. Keep talking.
And the reason why it wasn't number one for me is because I think the depth is just it's good right now, but it's one position, one serious injury away from being in a little bit more trouble.
Tyler had running back at two.
I told you.
Okay.
Are you, did you?
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I really honestly thought you had him at number one because I know me and Justin both did. Yeah. I like Gabe Irvin. I like A.J. Allen if he sticks around. Anthony Grant. There's just so many names back there I feel could start.
Yeah, and I got four guys out there that can start.
So if you lose one of them, I'm not hoping for one of them to leave by any stretch of imagination, but you lose one, you still got three guys who could start. I'm okay with that.
So if you want to look at depth as, you know, a contributing factor, let's say Ty Robinson, if he leaves, I mean, what is that defensive, you know, he doesn't even have to leave. What if he gets hurt? What is that defensive line?
That's a good name. Ty Robinson, I think, is a very good name that could really hurt this team if he were to leave or get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that defensive line, I think.
It starts getting pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
Because the defensive line's already halfway scary the way it is. When our defensive line coach is talking about true freshmen that have only been there for a few months making names for themselves, you're sitting there going, oh, geez.
Not good.
like all the power to Maverick Noonan. Like, I hope he's as advertised. But when I hear that young of a kid coming in making a name for himself, I'm sitting there going, either he's really good or this defensive line's even worse than I was expecting.
I think all the guys that we just talked about outside of Anthony Grant, would suck, but I don't think we're screwed over. I don't think the running back room is screwed over if he leaves or if anybody leaves out of the running back, but I don't know. I mean, we're going to hear some names that are like, oh, that sucks, but I think we'll look at it as like, oh, that position group is going to be fine, but Shoot, I'm starting to talk myself into thinking that Ty Robinson is probably the most indispensable guy that we can't lose at their position group.
You may be right, just for lack of depth.
Yeah. Any other nuggets that come out of practice that I did not touch on? What about the comments from Matt Rhule that Bryce Benhart is a... Tyler rolls his eyes here. Bryce Benhart is like an NFL... He's a Sunday type of guy. Tyler, you want to take your Harburg hate and transfer it over to Bryce Benhart?
I would say I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear it.
Elaborate, please.
I don't buy it. I mean, I have not seen one bit of him that's... I mean, we know what his potential is. We know what his potential has been. But this is not even a Harburg who's 3 years in the program. Bryce Benhart is on his fourth year now, and he's played a ton.
Yeah, that's fair. Tyler, I'm with you. That's fair. I'm hoping that old Donnie Raiola has got something figured out with him, like Matt Rhule seems to think.
I mean, I would just be happy.
But I'm with you. I'm skeptical on that.
He
was a 4-star guy coming in. You thought easily could be an NFL kind of guy. But you're right. We have not seen it.
I just hope that he's a good starter. Like, how about that? Like, I don't need him to be an NFL guy. Let's just see if he's a good starter.
Yeah. And not just a serviceable body.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd take that jump.
Turner Corcoran's another one. Like, I know we haven't heard much about him, but he's another guy. Like, wasn't he like one of our top all-time recruits?
That's a Tyler question. He's a recruiting guy.
Yeah, but he's I think he's the best recruit outside. I mean, I think Malachi Coleman was up there, but I think Turner Corcoran was a higher recruit than him. I think he's probably the highest recruit we have on the team right now, actually.
Wow. I'm looking at
transfers,
it here.
Not pure transfers, but
I'm looking it up here as to where he stood, but
I mean, so
but yeah, he's definitely a guy that you'd really like to see something finally come out of him. Like, he's been one of the lowest PFF graded linemen that we've had, and he's supposed to be one of the best.
But yeah, practice reports, all the practice reports have him starting. He's one of the top five guys. So, I mean, that came as a surprise, but and I'm not surprised that he could or would start. The NFL comments did shock me.
He was a .9748, which makes him like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, our eighth highest recruit in since they've been tracking it.
Nice.
And by far, I mean, he's only just barely under an Ndamukong Suh as far as rankings go.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, that's a guy I would really love to see finally turn a corner, because
he's got to go inside, though, it sounds like, right?
I'm fine with that. If that's where he's comfortable and that's where he's going to succeed, whatever. Just do whatever it takes to make him better. That's such a waste of talent if he doesn't ever get better.
All right, guys, it's been a fun episode. There's a lot more to get into than what I actually thought this week, so that was that's always fun. Next week's going to be a great episode. You know, we're going to finally hear some names who actually enters the transfer portal, get an idea on that, and it's going to be our spring game preview, so that's always fun. So things that we want to see in the spring game, which is a lot, apparently. So let's get out of here. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuscast on Twitter, at Husker Cuscast. Like us on Facebook. Look for our episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, go Big Red.